Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 31, studying Mark chapter 3. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. At that page, you will find links to audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, links to our Bible study courses, and much more. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us at this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988. To receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Mark chapter 3. We were in our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Jesus healing in the Capernaum synagogue, another Sabbath challenge. We just started discussing verse 3. Jesus spoke to the man who had the withered hand, and Jesus directed him to step forward. We are not told how everyone, or anyone, knew that a man was present that day who had a withered hand. It appears that the Pharisees knew this in advance, but how and why they did, we are not told. It may have been purely coincidental that this man was there on that day, or he may have been there every Sabbath day. Nothing in this context tells us that there was any premeditated setup involved. Furthermore, we are not told how and or when Jesus knew that this man was going to be present on that day. As the Son of God, he would, of course, have known what was going on in the synagogue. Some have speculated that, in the course of synagogue prayer, when hands would be raised toward heaven, it would have been most apparent that this man had a withered hand. Whether or not that was the case, we do not know, and really, it makes no difference on how we understand what Jesus was about to do. That Jesus directed the man to step forward tells us that Jesus not only knew that the man was there and that the man had a withered hand, it also tells us that Jesus purposely called attention to this man in anticipation of what he was going to do. Verse 4, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, and Jesus asked them this question, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" Based on what we noted in our prior study, what the Pharisees did and did not allow to be done medically or otherwise in order to cure and or to save human life on the Sabbath day, it was all a bit complex. Jesus, however, made what might have been complex according to Pharisaic understanding of Sabbath day laws, Jesus made it all quite simple. He reduced what was right or lawful to two disjunctions, two choices. It was either to do good or to do evil, and it was either to save life or to kill. Was it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Was it lawful to do evil on the Sabbath? Was it lawful to save life on the Sabbath? Was it lawful to take life, that is, to kill, on the Sabbath? The sharp dichotomy between good and evil makes the answers to the first two questions appear to be most obvious. Yes, it must always be recognized, it must always be understood as lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. And no, it must always be recognized, always understood, as unlawful to do evil on the Sabbath day. The choices, good versus evil on the Sabbath. The conclusion, always do good, always stay away from evil. But then there's that last part of Jesus' question, to save life or to kill. Yes, it must always be recognized and understood as lawful to save life on the Sabbath. And no, it must always be recognized and understood as unlawful to take life, that is, to kill, on the Sabbath day. Jesus was going to do good, not evil. Jesus, of course, was not going to kill or take life. Of the two choices, save life or to kill, Jesus was going to save life. Technically, Jesus was not going to save a physical life in this context. He was not going to literally prevent someone from dying. But, as we learn from other contexts, if it was lawful to save one's ox on the Sabbath day, then it was also lawful to heal on the Sabbath. See Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 1. That it was right to save the life of an animal on the Sabbath meant that it was also right to save the life of a man on the Sabbath. And if it was right to save the life of a man on the Sabbath, then it was also right to heal a man, make that man's physical life better on the Sabbath day. And of course, that's what Jesus was about to do. In response to Jesus' question, the text tells us that the Pharisees were silent. The nature of their silence was such that it was ongoing. They were not just silent, they remained silent. That same form of the word appears later in Mark, chapter 9, verse 34, where we read, "But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest." In this setting, Jesus took the apostles to task, asking what they were discussing while they traveled. They were not just silent, they remained silent. Why? Because they realized what they were talking about did not present themselves in a good light. They disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Though the Pharisees were not arguing about who would be the greatest in Christ's coming kingdom, their silence in Mark chapter 3 did not put their Sabbath law understanding, and thus themselves, in a very good light either. Verse 5, Jesus looked around at the Pharisees. Jesus did so with anger, as he was grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Jesus' actions and emotions are powerful, and they are piercing. The eyes of Jesus the Messiah looked at the Pharisees in the synagogue, the Pharisees who were only waiting for him to make a mistake so that they could find just cause to take his life. Jesus' anger was a holy indignation against evil, not the kind of a human anger that is malignant and vindictive. The tense indicates that looking around in anger was a momentary act. It grieved Jesus to see the hardness of their hearts. Other translations note that Jesus was deeply distressed, sad, that he felt sorry for them, deeply saddened and utterly distressed. Why? These religious leaders, ostensibly the knowers and the protectors of the Mosaic Law, they had a heart condition, a hardness of heart. Bauer defines the term rendered as hardness as a state or condition of complete lack of understanding, dullness, insensibility, obstinacy. Theirs was not just a complete lack of understanding, but it was also a sense of obstinacy, or, as Lou and Nida put it, a stubborn unwillingness to learn. Unwillingness to learn, mental stubbornness, closed mind. One lexicon defined it as obtuseness of mental discernment. Here were souls created in the image of God. Souls that prided themselves on their knowledge, their spirituality, their separateness. And they were not only looking for a way to get Jesus, they appeared oblivious to the condition of the man with a withered hand. Their inward hardness of hearts extended to a callousness of mind and a disregard for the souls around them in need of altruistic compassion. Fortunately, Jesus had all of that at the ready, then and always. Jesus spoke to the man with the withered hand. He simply said, "Stretch out your hand." The man did so, and his hand was restored, now whole just like the other. The healing dynamic here, much like what we observed in Mark 2:11, When Jesus told the paralytic man to take up your bed and go to your house, it must not be missed. Jesus did not touch the man. The man did not touch Jesus, nor any part of Jesus' clothing. Jesus did not verbally call upon the name of God. He simply said, "Stretch out your hand." And the man did as he was told, an action, a movement that was previously impossible. But now, at Jesus' instruction, one that was not just possible, but now made real because of the healing power of Jesus. The mechanics are not explained, not here, not anywhere. Yet the Pharisees and the man with the withered hand, the man who used to have a withered hand, and all those who witnessed this healing in the synagogue, they rightly attributed this healing to Jesus. The Pharisees' response? The Pharisees who were present in the synagogue obviously saw what Jesus did, but rather than give glory to God, they went out immediately. There's one of Mark's favorite terms again. They immediately plotted with the Herodians against Jesus. Two quick thoughts here. Their objective was to have Jesus destroyed, that is, killed, and they would use whatever means necessary in order to accomplish that objective. We note that second thought because of the alliance between the Pharisees and the Herodians portrayed here. Though there's much that we do not know about the Herodians, it's generally understood that the Pharisees were no friends of the Herods, but that both parties were seeking to get rid of Jesus as a potential troublemaker, as they saw it, whose activities would sooner or later cause the Romans to intervene and thereby threaten the Jewish establishment. This was not the only alliance between the Pharisees and the Herodians. In Matthew 22:16, concerning the question about paying taxes to Caesar, we read, "And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of man.'" The message, as just highlighted from these twin thoughts, the Pharisees wanted Jesus dead and gone, and they were willing to work with the Herodians, who were more concerned about preserving political stability than upholding the Mosaic law, in order to get the job done. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 3. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.